In Exodus chapter 6, God said, "Now you will see what I will do. Because of my mighty hand, Pharaoh will let my people go." And God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Therefore, say to all Israel, to all the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring them from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." And yes, he did everything he promised and so much more. Praise the Lord. We have words written in our bulletin, which Viv has read for us already, but I'd like us to do something with this psalm today. I'd like us to read it. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and so on through the psalm. It's in your bulletin. And I recognise that some of the verse breaks don't quite necessarily follow the verses, but we'll do a verse-by-verse break if we can. So I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. But I want you to really focus on the words, and particularly the words of praise the Lord. So let's do that. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Praise the Lord. I recognize that's not something we do very often. But one of the things that we need to do as we come to this third commandment is we don't have to kind of get to the second bit of the commandment too quickly. Where we need to start is we need to understand that when we're talking about the name of the Lord, we are talking about something that is far more magnificent, far more wonderful than probably what we sometimes acknowledge. We need to understand who we're talking about when we talk about God. In verse 5, it said, "Praise the name of the Lord," and that's what we're talking about today, the name of God. One of the greatest challenges I think we face today is that we forget, or we treat as flippant, or even a little blasé, who God is. And as God himself declared, he is the great I am. That is, he is the God who has always been and will always be. As we've just read, he is the creator God. All things were created by him. He is the God who brought salvation to the Israelites. And he's the God who has brought salvation to us through Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of praise. I share all of that this morning because I believe arguably the greatest challenge we face with this third commandment is that as a church, the risk is that we can devalue the name of God. And even in some ways, thinking of God as just a name, when we utter the word God, he's moved from being the creator God to just a word that we speak. Now, we would like to think that we're a little bit more holy and reverent in the way in which we say it than the way the world says it. But we don't quite think of God in all his magnitude. The command says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So what we have lowered the interpretation of this command to be, I think, is don't use the name of God or Jesus Christ as a swear word. And that's what we kind of lowered it to. And we go, that's all this command is really talking about. It's kind of what we hear. It's what we think, isn't it? When you hear that third command, just make sure you don't swear using Jesus Christ. And that's what we've lowered it to. And what we've done is to some level, rightly, we certainly get upset, and rightly so, and annoyed when we hear people using the phrase OMG, oh my God, and we get upset if we hear somebody using the word Jesus Christ as a swear word. And it's right and appropriate for us to get upset. But if we think that that's all this commandment is about, then we're selling it short. And in some ways, we'd like to think that, you know, of all the commandments, we've actually got number three sorted. Because we would never use that language. But that's not what it's about. In truth, we probably even struggle to see what the issue is with this one anyway. We can understand why you would have rules like do not murder. That's pretty obvious. We can see why it would be in the 10. Do not steal. Once again, that's a good one to have in the 10. Do not commit adultery. But why this one? Why would God consider this one to be needing to have to be in the 10? Surely you could have put something else in there to fill up the space if you had to have 10. And why would God say so strongly, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name? It is true that obviously a person's name or the importance of a name doesn't mean as much to us today as it did in Bible times. But in saying that, we still hold significance to our name. Our name is still something that's valuable to us. We want a good name rather than a bad name. And, you know, you'd think of people that have been currently in the news, someone like a Jeffrey Rush or a Rebel Wilson. Both of those people have been vindicated in court. And yet I would think everyone still has an opinion as to whether they were guilty or innocent, did the right thing or the wrong thing. And their name has been tarnished. Their name is mud, regardless of what the court did or didn't say. Their name, yet, is what they value. But in Israel's history, a name spoke about a person's character. And you'll read a lot of this about the notes in our Bible study material. It speaks there about the value of a name and people's character. We know that many had their names changed. There was a man called Abram. Abram, by God, had his name changed to Abraham, meaning a father of the multitude. Sarai, his wife, had her name changed to Sarah. She used to, her meaning was princess. And a mother now meant mother, a name meant mother of nations. Jacob became Israel. Jacob meant follower or holder on of the heel of your brother or something along those lines. But Israel means having power with God. Simon became Peter, the rock. Saul became Paul. One of the more interesting ones is Onesimus. Onesimus, which is a letter that was written by Paul to Philemon. Used to mean useless, came to mean useful. So who a person was closely linked to their name. And that was particularly true with God. His name needed to show his character. So as we live as Christians, or as we speak the word God, as we speak the word God, we need to be accurately and truthfully declaring the nature of God, not just some throwaway line. We need to make sure that we're not somehow cheapening who God is, not giving a version of God to the masses that they're happy to hear. God is love. And just leaving it at that. God is so much more than that. In some ways, it cheapens who he is. It becomes almost a throwaway line. We've got to be really careful with that. One of my friends got hooked on Wish. I don't know whether you've seen the website Wish, where you can buy all different products. There's all things there. And so he said, oh, you need to look at this. So sure enough, typical Muggins me, I looked at Wish. And I saw something there that really pricked my ears, my eyes, or something. I'm not sure what it pricked, but it pricked something. And there in this was this Orient watch. Now, Orient watches, back in the day, back when I was a wee lad, good watches. Very good watches. And so I could see the picture of the Orient watch on this website. Looks really nice. And then as I continued to look, probably the thing that stood out to me, it was $17. $17 for an Orient watch. Something that's considered a good brand. Awesome pictures. But you know what? There was something about it that just made me think something wasn't quite right. There's no doubt about me. I'm very perceptive. I picked up that maybe this wasn't all that it presented itself to be. But I couldn't leave it alone, so I thought, you know what? It's $17. There's probably a lot of things I can do with $17, but I'm going to give this a try. Paid $17. Now, I know that Orient watches used to come in this beautiful display box. When the parcel came, there was just this long, narrow box, or actually package, and inside, this Orient watch was in a plastic sleeve, not in a display box. And as I opened it up, you could feel the band was really tinny and really light. And you know what, as I then looked at it and I thought about it, that would leave me to declare. And I can tell all of you that I have an Orient watch. And I can tell you, they're rubbish. They are rubbish. Look, it keeps the time. It keeps the time, so in some ways it does what it's meant to do. But it's just rubbish. But for me to declare to you that Orient watches are rubbish is not actually true. Now, I can say, look, I know it's an Orient watch. It has Orient written on its face, and it's almost spelt correctly. It has the Orient logo on it. Kind of. But for me to tell to you that the Orient watch is rubbish is actually not telling a truth, is it? Because what I've actually got before me is not the Orient watch. What I've actually got is a cheap imitation. And so what we need to do is we talk about God and the name of God and who he is and what he does for the world and who he is for me. We need to make sure that we're not presenting a cheap imitation. That we are displaying by our words and our actions the name of God in all his truth, in all his magnitude, and nothing less. We should never speak of God in a way that empties his significance. We often hear phrases such as God is my witness. You can almost be sure there's a lie about to follow. Isn't it true? As God is my witness, you know that somebody's about to tell a porky. It cheapens who God is by using his name for another purpose. Do you promise in a court of law? Apparently I've never been there. did promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. As people stand in that place, they might have the intention of telling the truth, but most people are not really seeking God to help them to tell the truth. The name is cheapened. One of the great challenges we can face is that even doing good things in the name of God, when actually what we're really doing is not in the name of God, we're doing it to satisfy our own selves, to make us feel better about things. And so maybe we give to charity or something else, not for the name of God, but for ourselves. Matthew 7 gives us a big warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Jesus says, he will declare, I never knew you. The name of the Lord used in vain just cheapens his name's value and who we perceive God to be. Doing good things under the banner of Christian or God or Jesus can be one of the greatest challenges we face as Christian people. Unless it really is directed by him and for him, we need to make sure that we're not putting our desires under his banner. We need to check our motivation and also who we serve. One of the other ways in which it's easy for us to cheapen or devalue God's name is in our worship. It's in our worship, and I think that this is one of those areas where we're really prone, because obviously music, worship, singing is something that we value greatly. But if we were to be totally honest, as we come here on a Sunday, we probably would like to think that we're here to worship God. But what we often do, we see the words come up on the screen, and they are the words of a song we really like. We like the tune. We've sung it many times over, and almost as we sing it for our own gratification. Because it makes us feel good, rather than we are singing praises and worship to God. That's a danger with ones we like. Probably a greater danger when it's a song or a tune we don't like. What rubbish is this? That's terrible. I don't like this song. Can't even keep up with the musicians. And yet, contained within those words are words that attempt to praise the name of God. And we've somehow cheapened it to whether we like the tune or we don't like the tune, whether we like singing it or don't like singing it. The name of the Lord damaged in that moment because we've chosen not to worship. How easy is it to maybe look back and even look at what we've sung today? Can you say, I know that I came today and I worshipped the Lord? It's a challenge for us. By worshipping God, we need to know that we've worshipped him in spirit and in truth, for the God he is, the great I am. Another risk for us, and I think this is a big risk for us, is the phrase, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. You might well say, well, that doesn't actually have a reference to God's name, and that may be technically true. But as we speak those words to a person who has a circumstance or a situation that they're struggling with, and we utter the words, I will pray for you, what we are really saying is, I will bring your petition before the Lord our God. I will pray for you in the name of Jesus, is really what we are saying. And that person we have promised we would pray for should be able to have a confidence that their situation is really brought before God in the name of Jesus in a way that will really pick them up. So what really unfolds when we forget to pray? Or if we said, I will pray for you, and we never had any intention to, what we're really doing is we let a person down. We let a person down who we've actually promised to pick up. We've let them down, and we promised to pick them up because we said we would pray in the name of Jesus. Now, we might not have uttered that word, but that's really what we're saying. The reality is of who God is, our proclamation of who he is becomes tarnished and damaged when we don't follow through with our words. And it's not because that person is damaged, not because of the fact that God's not faithful, but because we're not. Have you had someone in that situation? Do you have someone in that situation who you have actually said, I'll pray for you? Can I encourage you to pray for them? Can you pray for their circumstances? You've promised. You said you would. We need to make sure that we do that. The ultimate question we need to ask today is this. When we speak about who God is, or who Jesus Christ is, do people around us get to see that we love God with all we are, with our heart and our soul and with our strength? Do they get a chance to see the wonders of who God is through our words? Or do they just see a cheap imitation of God through our lives? It would be really nice. Be really nice if this command was only about not using the name of Jesus as a swear word. It'd be really nice if that was just this command, because then we could just tick it off and we could move on. Let's just get on to commandment 4. But it's so much more than that. Maybe there's a lot of work that we really need to be doing in this area. Maybe it's an area where we need to do a lot of soul searching. You see, our God is not a cheap little g God. Our God is not a cheap little g God that we can buy in a discount store. He has declared the value of who he is. He has declared his value in his name. And we are called to proclaim the name of the Lord. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the God who has rescued us and delivered us. He is the God who has made a covenant with us. Let us make sure that our worship and our prayers reflect that. We can't do that in our own strength. We need to ask for the Lord's help so that our lives and our witness reflect that. Let our yes be yes. Let our promise to pray be a prayer. So that, yes, we will be considered blameless, but even more than that, because we actually love God for who he is, and we want others to experience that same love. We don't want to do anything that would let him down or cheapen his name. He is worthy of genuineness. Let us not carelessly or thoughtlessly or flippantly misuse the name of the Lord our God. Instead, let us praise him in our lives, through our words, and through our deeds. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you, we would probably all recognize that there are many times and in many ways that we don't honor you for being the God that you are. And we just want to confess that today. We want to bring that before you. And Father, we ask that you'll forgive us. And Father, we also ask that you will show us how we can lift your name high. We ask that you'll reveal to us the way in which we can be true representatives of you, and in all that we do, lift your name up in a way that others will see your glory. They will see the wonder of all that you are. Now, Father, in our humanity, we're always going to do a very average job of that. And so we ask by your Spirit, you will help us to be more than we are of ourselves, and that we can do this in a faithful way. Father, we don't want to ever misuse the name, your name, in vain. Would you help us to speak the name of the Lord, your name, in a way that truly honours you? And Father, we say it every Sunday, each time we pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray this today. Amen. Amen.